Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I like it. I don't know. We could all do with a bit of light. As I said, especially because I'm in a grumpy mood. I don't know. Somebody said it's because we're heading to a winter solstice. Nah, is it going to put me into a mood? I don't know. It definitely is doing something, but maybe it's not that. Dr. Carl, the fact that we're moving towards a winter solstice, could that be the reason I'm in a rotten mood today? Grumpy?
Yes and no. It was a condition called SAD, which stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder. And it's related to the fact that the days are short. So where I am in Sydney, we're getting about 9.5 hours of sunlight, and as opposed to 14.5. And it's dark in the morning when you get up, and it's dark at night when you're going home. So that can lead to depression. One way around is to have lots of lights in the house. Right. This works for some people.
Okay, that's good to know. So there you go. So maybe you guys weren't so wrong. Maybe that maybe it does have an impact. Right, let's talk about infrared saunas. What is an infrared sauna?
It's a way of applying heat to your skin. Okay. And we've had saunas for thousands of years. And the way we normally have it is that you have a fire or inside the sauna and it makes everything hot, or you have a fire outside the sauna which then heats up the rocks. Either way, the air is hot. The hot air kisses your skin and you get this feeling of warmth, and the temperature can go up to, say, 90 degrees centigrade. The other side of it is you can have infrared saunas which actually transmit infrared radiation directly, which penetrates your skin a little bit more. They do claim, and they're lying, that it will affect your, it'll penetrate into your internal organs. No, it does not. But it does penetrate your skin a little bit more. It has a few advantages, like it's cheaper to run because you're using more efficient energy supply. You can also tailor it to the person. The disadvantage is you don't go to a higher temperature. There's swings and roundabouts. There seem to be benefits with saunas that are over and above just simply...
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Is there, you know, I know, as you said, people have been doing it for thousands of years, but is it a, are there health benefits to a sauna?
Most of the health benefits seem to be from being the sort of person who would go to a sauna. So if you're the sort of person who'd go to a sauna, then you go to the sauna and you do other things like your bicycle there and you go for a swim and all these other sort of things. Whereas if you tend not to be the sort of person who goes to the sauna, then you don't have other physical activities. It's hard to tangle out the mess with a... the sauna has actual health benefits that are specific to the sauna as opposed to the lifestyle of the person who goes to a sauna. But on the other hand, it feels good. And if it's not too expensive, and I've been seeing prices for these infrared saunas of $60 an hour, which seems awfully expensive. Yeah. But if it's not too expensive, you can do it at your local sports club as part of the package deal, then that would be a reasonable thing. Certainly, it's convenient. You can tailor it to yourself, and you can do it without the steam. So at my local club, they've got a swimming pool, 25-meter swimming pool. So I do a couple of laps in that, half a kilometer, then get into the sauna. And the sauna is the old-fashioned sort, and the steam is so thick, you cannot see more than a meter in front of you. And you just sit in there, and you feel good. You sweat a lot, then you go out and have a shower and head home, and you feel great. Does it align my kundalinis and chakras and make my handwriting better? No. Do I feel better? Yeah.
All right, you're funny. I don't think it's going to make, certainly wouldn't help my handwriting, I can tell you that. Dr. Cole, you're also a doctor, so if you had decent handwriting, then I think you'd have to lose your title, which could be a problem.
Well, one of my friends had handwriting, as a medical doctor, had handwriting that was copperplate, and it was so wonderful to read it when you were there reading the patient notes. Then you come across his scrawl and suddenly this beautiful copperplate, and he could do it quickly, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and also scary. Okay, what is the story with salt in the human diet?
Overwhelmingly, it appears that too much salt is bad for you. So looking at planet Earth and looking at all the populations, we've found populations that have different amounts of sodium between 0.2 of a gram up to 10 grams. And if you turn that into salt, you multiply it by 2.5. Right. So just looking at the sodium, the minimum you need to survive is 0.18. And those people living in the Amazon forest are just skirting at the bottom end. And in how well you deal with that salt, you can have a whole bunch of diseases normally related to high blood pressure, such as heart disease, coronary artery disease, strokes, right, kidney disease, etc. And you can have non blood pressure diseases such as kidney stones and gallbladder disease. But it turns out that people are then broken into two populations of either sodium sensitive or not. And the people who are not sodium sensitive, they can have the salt and it doesn't bother them one bit. Other people just tend to avoid it. With me, when I go to a restaurant, I find myself that particular night just simply drinking water like crazy because I'm thirsty, right, and I have no desire to urinate. So what my kidneys are doing is diluting the salt back to a normal level and waiting for my kidneys to catch up. And so I can easily put on an extra 1.5 kilograms of water where I'm just going, guzzle, 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 drink. And whether it's related to blood pressure in me, I don't know, but I'm not taking any chances. So there are some people who are just resistant to high salt. You pay your money, take your chances. Worldwide, people are saying the various health bodies keep it under 2 grams of sodium or 2.5 grams of salt per day on average. But you might be one of those lucky people who can have lots of salt and it doesn't bother you. How did you find out? Well, at the end of 30 years, you say, oh, I do have failed kidneys or I don't. So, yeah, sure.
Right. It's a hell of a way to find out. Yeah, exactly. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to ask you about a color previously unseen. Tell me about it.
Well, yes. So the way we see colors is that in our retina, we've got about 6 million cells that are broken up into being sensitive to some of them to the color blue, not many of them, some to the color green, about half, and then some more to the color red, and a bit more than half. So, and it turns out that gives us the color rainbow that we're used to, and we've developed these color tests. And so you can do a test where you give people 100 blocks that are graded in subtle colors, and they work their way through, and we're pretty well sure what we know the standard colors are. But the thing is that each of your color receptors is tiny, 0.4 of a millionth of a meter across, and whenever a beam of light lands on your retina, it's hitting the green sensitive ones as well as the blue as well as the red sensitive ones. And just recently with a laser, we were able to get a laser to affect just one individual cone at a time and try it with different frequencies, and blow me down, people were reporting seeing all I could say was, I've never seen this color before.
Amazing.
So,
absolutely amazing.
It just shows that there's capabilities in our human eye and brain that we haven't fully realized yet.
Dr. Carl, that's where we leave it. Thank you. As always, we always learn so many interesting things. It is 7:40. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.